Our text this morning is taken from Luke chapter 19, and this is the good news about Jesus. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, and his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. But he was short and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran up ahead to get ready and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is the day that I will be a guest in your home." Well, Zacchaeus scrambled out of that tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was quite indignant and grumpily said, "What business does Jesus have getting cozy with this crook?" Well, Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. And he stammered apologetically, "Master," he said to Jesus, "today I will give away half my income to the poor. And if I'm ever caught cheating, I will pay four times the damages." And Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Let us pray. Dear God, we recognize your presence in our midst today. We thank you for the beauty of this place and the beauty of the environment that surrounds it. We thank you for our communities, and we thank you for this enjoyable and very pleasant weather. And thank you for all the things that have brought us together today, that we might hear what we need to hear, so that we can do what we need to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you all here. Why did you come here today? A lot of reasons, right? Well, let's just take a minute, and why don't you share to the person next to you, or if you dare, across those divisions in the pews. Be very careful. And just share with them, just for a moment, why you came here today. What brought you here? What's your history here? What's a reason that God might have gotten you up and ready to be here today? Just do that for a moment together. Go ahead. You can talk in church. Who says you can't? Marcus, you go ahead and share here. Why did you come here today? Why did you come here today? Excellent. Wonderful. Oh, there you go. Very good. Talking across the aisle. Very bold. Very bold. Who has something, anything that you thought was kind of unique, a reason somebody came today? Anybody come to hear Pastor Kevin preach today? I didn't think so, but that's okay. That's all right. Yes, buddy.
My mother said to come.
Very good. Excellent reason. And you thought you might find $5 laying on the street, right? Like you did as that story you told when you were a kid. How about anybody else have something unusual today? Why you came here today? Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Hey, is anybody, yes, Elaine? You had to get the money. Yeah, don't tell anybody this. Don't tell anybody this, but Elaine has a secret bag and has handcuffs attached to her wrist. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything more. That's right. Did anybody here today sit in a different place than last week? Excellent. Good job with you over here. Yes, buddy, what were you going to say? Oh.
She goes 50-50.
Oh, I see. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. I know. I think my wife sat somewhere different. You know, talking in the balcony, by the way. Yeah. Have any of you ever sat in the balcony?
I used to sit there all the time.
Yes. 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 You know what? I see a day ahead where we may need to sit in the balcony. I don't know. Maybe when we're painting the pews and we have to sit up there. No, I think maybe a better reason might work. Yeah. Anybody else have something unusual? Why you came to church today? Yes. Habits, good one. Oh, in the sermon. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. And if it gives you any trouble, you can close those doors. We have keys for them in case you're wondering. Well, you know, when we... Yes. Ah.
I said, no, I wanted to come and praise the Lord.
Oh, very good. That's great. That's another great reason. And I know there are actually some people who told me last week they wouldn't be here this week, which is really great. I'm happy to know that. But I think we miss when we're not together. But when we take a minute to share with each other, here's something to think about. We don't have a point without someone else helping us understand it. In other words, we can't have a point of view unless it's compared to someone else's. Because otherwise it's not a point of view. It's just your idea. But when we have a point of view, it helps us understand why we're here. And maybe you heard something similar to why you came with the person that you shared with. That reinforces the reason you came. Or maybe someone shared with you a reason, oh my gosh, I never thought about that before. That's true for me too. See, so now your point deepens because you had a conversation, even if brief, with someone else who brought something to your mind that you may have overlooked before. Or you may have heard something that was totally crazy and you can't relate to it at all personally, but it helped you understand the other person better. We all have a point. But our point is only based when we interact with other people to help us with theirs. So we all came for different reasons. Why do you think Jesus went to the cross? What do you think Jesus was thinking about on his way to the cross? I'll tell you the answer. Of course, we know he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead to give us life everlasting. But what do you think he was thinking about on his way to the cross? Possibly, that's all right. Yes, I'm thinking even before then. So think about Zacchaeus. And think about Jesus walking down a road in the middle of a great crowd. Why do you think there's always a crowd around Jesus? Well, because Jesus always had something useful to say, a thoughtful look, a healing touch. Jesus had, and his disciples, had this something, this authenticity, this realness about him that other people wanted to get a piece of that. Oh, if I could only be near Jesus today, maybe my life could be a little different too. Oh, I feel so down today. Boy, if I could spend a little bit more time with Jesus, maybe some of that focus, some of that energy, that spiritual life might help my own life to grow and change. And the scripture says, in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the writer of Hebrews then says, consider that. So when Jesus was walking down the street in Jericho and met Zacchaeus, when Jesus was moving through a crowd and healed the only child of a mother, and rose him back to life. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and from a couple pieces of fish and a few loaves of bread, that Jesus was thinking about this joy up ahead, this focus that kept drawing him forward and ever forward. That's the kind of spiritual energy that Cold Spring Church is developing and that's emerging here. That habit brings us here, to be sure, and our familiarity brings us here. It's comfortable for many of us. And seeing friends is another thing. And having a spouse or a loved one or a friend or a neighbor call and drag us here or help us get here. All these are good. But there's a deeper reason. And it has to do with the Zacchaeus story and why I asked the children to open the back doors. See, this church has a point, but it only has a point of view if it intersects with someone else's point. In other words, this church is not here in a vacuum. This church was built here, why do you think? Anybody know? Remember? This church was put here. It was sort of a mission church. It was Christians were in the area, and they wanted to have a place to worship, and they were tired of traveling, you know, all the way to wherever else their options were. And so here it was. And so all those people began gathering in this place because they wanted to have a place where their faith and their worship experience would intersect with their everyday life. That's why churches were put on main streets. This was a main drag here. In fact, if you notice, what I learned on my cemetery tour was there's markers along Seashore Road, mile markers, and they're all mile markers to the point. And the one right out here, I think it's had three, it's a three on it, 3 miles to the point. And the state of New Jersey had them do that, or whoever the governing power was whenever those things were put in, because they wanted everybody to have a point of reference to the point, which was everyone's destination. And so everyone who built along this road, Seashore Road, would have a reference point. See, our church only exists because of the community that it's in. Daniel was a great guy. We remember Daniel, right? This is the fella who was thrown into the lion's den and became the lion's new best friend, right? He was not devoured because God was with him. But Daniel got ready for these things because every day he prepared. He ate in a healthy way. He had disciplines in his life of when he got up and when he went to sleep, when he prayed, when he read the scriptures. Daniel was ready for what God had for him next. And so it was a great example then, sort of like Zacchaeus, in that he knew something was about to happen, and he had to get ready for it. He wasn't sure what it was. Now, in Daniel's case, it was the governors and the administrators of the land got jealous of Daniel. And so they ended up passing a law that made getting ready to worship God a crime. And it's because they wanted to catch Daniel. Really had nothing to do with God and very little to do with their own relationship with God. But they were very jealous of Daniel and his authority and his influence. And so they just said, well, what does Daniel do every day that pretty much nobody else does that we can catch him in? And that's what he did. But Daniel was ready because the very act of getting ready every day, Daniel was prepared for even the most dire of consequences. And so Jesus moved steadily toward Jerusalem as he passed through Jericho that day. What was Zacchaeus' job? Marcus, do you remember? Barber? No, he said it. Tax collector, right. So, anybody here a tax collector first? Let me ask. Don't be bashful. Yeah, so true, Marge. Okay, because tax collectors, not today, but tax collectors back in Jesus' day were sometimes crooks. You know why? Because they picked up a contract to be the tax collector from the local authority, and the local authority said, you need to collect, let's just say, $10,000 this month for taxes. And so the tax guy then knew that he had to deliver $10,000 by the end of the month. Now it was simply his job to go find $10,000. So he may have gone to somebody who he thought had deep pockets and said, oh, I can get a couple thousand out of this guy. And he says, here's your tax bill, a couple thousand dollars. But I don't know a couple thousand dollars. Well, I'm sorry, you got to give me a couple thousand dollars. And everybody had to pay the tax man. Some things never change. But so the tax collectors earned not all of them were crooked, but tax collectors earned kind of a reputation because it was an unregulated business, and all they had to do was turn in the receipts that they owed the authorities at the end of the month, and they kept the difference. So they were not generally liked, which is another reason, though Zacchaeus physically was a little short, and so he couldn't see around all the people. But you can also imagine no one would let him climb on their shoulders. No one would have given Zacchaeus any kind of deference at all. And so Zacchaeus, being a prepared kind of guy, he knew that if he would climb that tree, he might be able to get a glimpse of Jesus. One thing that's not in our passage today is, I wonder why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. I wonder what it was Zacchaeus heard about Jesus that made him want to see him. I wonder if there's people in our lives that are wondering what God is like, and they're looking right at you. I wonder what the community out there is saying. I wonder if God cares about our community here, Cold Spring, North Cape May, Lower Township, Cape May. I wonder if God cares about our community. And you know what? They might be looking right at us. And so Zacchaeus wanted something. Maybe he wanted to be forgiven for cheating people. Maybe he just wanted to have a new direction in his life, and he heard that Jesus offered people new hope. We don't know exactly Zacchaeus' reason, but we do know that when Jesus called out to him in the tree, that for one thing, he would have been shocked. And he's a pretty good climber, like apparently all of our young people are. And so Zacchaeus, when he sees, what, me? What? Oh my God, you know, they're going to make fun of me. Oh boy, I hope nobody calls me down out of this tree. Maybe he was thinking, I hope I don't fall out of this tree. And then Jesus on purpose just says, Zacchaeus, you come on down. But Jesus didn't call him out to judge him. He wasn't picking on him because he, and we don't even know he was a crook. But we didn't know. Jesus wasn't calling him out to judge him, to pick on him for his size. Jesus wasn't going to pick on him for his job or where he lived. Jesus was going to say, oh, you're dressed kind of funny today, Zacchaeus. You don't have your climbing tree clothes on. You know, it's pretty embarrassing. I'm going to call you down from that tree and show you something. No, it wasn't for any of those reasons. Zacchaeus, and he climbed down, right? He climbed right down out of the tree. And he stood there with Jesus. And Jesus said the most startling thing. I want to come to your house for lunch. Jesus is standing in front of Cold Spring Church saying that every day. Jesus says, you know what? I think I want to hang out here more. I think I want to be more involved with you. And I want to be a little bit more involved with you. And you know what? I'd like to hang out a little bit more differently, a little differently with you. And there might be some things we could explore over here with you. And it's not to judge us or to say the path we're on has been incorrect. It's not to correct where we sit. It's to say, you know what? You were put on this planet for a reason. A huge, important reason. And Jesus says, I want to help you fulfill that. And that isn't it great that your sins can be forgiven and that God can welcome you into his family and that confidence and assurance can be ours? That's so awesome. But if that's all we have, it's just not. It just, you can't change the world with that. I think God is walking in our midst in this community down here, and I have no idea. I have no crystal ball. I cannot see the future. That's my wife, because I'm invariably wrong about anticipating what's to come. But I do know that our God is a God of hope, and that even Jesus, on his way to the cross, thought of nothing but the joy that was set for him up ahead. And that for us, that same joy can be ours. But what we do before we get to that particular kind of joy makes all the difference in the world. So Paul was in front of the authorities in the text we heard. And he was making his case. He was accused of being a Christian. He was accused of talking about this guy, Jesus. And so he made his case. And the governor looks at Paul and says, "What? Why are you doing these things?" And Paul, in essence, says, I will not remain in a corner. I will not go and hide over here. there in the corner and just hope nobody finds me. Like Zacchaeus might have done. Just might have stayed away entirely. Too embarrassing, too risky. I will never climb that tree. And Paul stands before the governor and says, you know what, I am here, I just can't help myself. I've got to tell you, first of all, about Christ, I've got to tell you that. And I've got to tell you that there is a better way to move forward. There is a better way to govern your kingdom. There's a better way to treat your neighbor. There is a better way to treat your family. There is a better way to treat yourself. And we're not to stay in the corner. Paul says, we need to take it out of the corner and make sure everybody can experience what we're experiencing. Here's something you may not have known. Last week after worship, yes, it was rainy Sunday. Last week after worship, Melissa and my family, we decided just sort of to journey around in the rain, you know. What are you going to do in the rain? And so we wandered over to the new brewery over at historic Cold Spring Village. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And this is a very cool barn. It's just absolutely gorgeous. They have historical things all over the place, and they tell you about all the different kind of beers. And the kids liked it because, you know, they don't have like an endless tap there, and then you have to bring your own food even if you're going to eat. But all the kids could try out all these different craft sodas. You know, root beer, sarsaparilla, special, you know, Sprite or whatever that clear drink is they call it. And they were able to taste these things, and they really enjoyed it. But one of the things I was startled, one of the beers is a red beer. And I'm not too red beer crazy, but it was, you just taste them, just little samples, you know. And so we're just tasting those, and I was talking to the brewmaster, and he says, I said, you know, so the red beer, it's not so bad. I didn't think I'd like red beer. He goes, oh, that was named for the church across the street. Like I said, you never know. So I just want you, when you talk to your friends around, you know, the ones you're going to bring to the beef stew dinner next week, just ask them, is there a beer named for your church? You just ask them, and I almost guarantee there will be a no. What do you mean, beer? Oh, my God. You people are crazy over there at Cold Spring Church. Yes. That's exactly what the governor, Festus, and Darius, Festus said of Paul. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. You're nuts. He goes, but I can't keep what I have found in the corner. Sorry. I've just got to share it. So this red beer over there was named, and the brewmaster's name, last name was Cressy, or Cress, C-R-E-E-S-E. He says a lot of his family is buried right here. And a lot of the family used to come to this church. And that's why he named it this red beer, a red beer for the red brick of this church that his family grew up and around for just centuries. And as Melissa and I were driving in today with sort of our readiness, you know, Cressy. Is that how you say it? Cressy? Riding in, we noticed a whole bunch of tombstones with that family name on it. So, red beer, Cold Spring Church. So I think one of these Sundays, we ought to go over there. And if you don't want beer, fine. But you could have some sarsaparilla. And you could thank Cressy, John, I can't remember his first name, Mr. Cressy, the brewmaster there, young guy. You could just thank him for naming one of his beers after his family's experience here at the church. This is why we take what we have outside. We can't just be content to stay inside. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, not just those in church, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. Jesus did not go to Zacchaeus to condemn him. Daniel wasn't accused or condemned because he had difficult challenges in his life. But God worked in these people's lives to transform a community. And even Zacchaeus said, today I will make it, I'll give half of my money to the poor. And if I cheat, I promise I will give four times the amount. The law only required twice payment when something's stolen. Double. He says, I'll quadruple that. That's how confident I am that I will never cheat again. Let's be grateful today that because God has brought us here today, He's made us ready for something. What are you ready for? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you and your love has brought us to this place and for us to spend a few minutes just to think about the possibilities and that being ready when a God who loves us and cares about us so very much has invited us to come down out of that tree, to come out of that building and see the possibilities ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.